Hi everyone, and welcome to Video Gaming is Good. This is episode 16. I am Dan, aka Emo, and...
I'm Lee Sklozer.
Yes, thank you very much, and thanks for joining us. First, we'd like to say thanks for listening as usual. We're not pros, we're the two ugliest guys on the net, just having a quick chat about whatever we like in the gaming world and what's going on, and, you know, you get a gist of it. First, we'd like to thank Excalibur once again for his comment on every episode, basically. We appreciate it. Probably the only one that listens to us anyway. Big turnout there, I guess. In regards to your comment asking us what monitors we are using, well, I'm using an old Philips 17-inch CRT monitor. That's right, still the standard tube monitors because I can't afford to buy an LCD. Because I'm not working, because I'm not rich. That's about it. What about you, Lee? What monitor are you using?
I'm using a ViewSonic PF775. It's 17 inches. It's like 45,000 kilos. And I don't have an LCD because, there's enough negatives in LCDs that, you know, make me not want to get one at the moment.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but, you know, LCDs have come a long way over the years. You know, we could have a quick talk about this, the pros and cons. I guess LCDs, you could say, bigger view, much sharper quality in a way.
Yeah. But, I mean, my monitor works fine just the way it is. And, you know, it's, I don't like the idea of just throwing away this one just because, you know, it's a bit old. You know, it works fine. I don't see the point in just throwing away this good monitor.
Yep, I understand that one too. And that's probably also part of my dilemma of why I haven't gotten one yet. It's like, you know, no point getting a new one if it ain't broke. Why fix it? So we just leave it like that. So if anybody out there wants to kindly donate to us any free monitors, particularly widescreen 24-inch LCDs, feel free to do so. You can contact us at our website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure we'll get heaps of requests to people send stuff in towards us. And with that bombshell, I guess, we'll go on to... We've got two articles for you this episode, and I'll let Lee carry on with the first one.
Okay, this one is called CEO. No, he didn't. Oh, what a delightful pun. Jack Trenton wants to give you $1,200. That's right. Jack Trenton. You never heard of him, have you? That's right. Neither have I. He's the CEO of Sony. Anyway, it doesn't really matter what this guy has to say. But anyway, if you can find a PS3 anywhere in North America that's been on the shelf for 5 minutes, more than 5 minutes, he'll give you $1,200. $1,200. 5 minutes. I have 180 minutes of mini DV tape here. I'm going to America. In 10 minutes, I'll have paid for my trip, and then it's just sheer profit after that. Jack, you're a moron. This is what happens when companies surround themselves with people just go, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, yeah, it's good, yeah, people love them. They get morons like this saying stuff that is stupid like this. And now, look, someone's going to go, oh, well, you know, there's this console, it's been on the shelf for 7 minutes. You're $1,200. This guy's going to go, Oh, crap, maybe people actually don't like my console. Oh, no, I just bankrupted the company. Jack, such a moron.
Exactly, right to the point there, Lee. Thank you very much. This article also points out that the website, they rang up, I think, about 18 stores, and they found that half of them had PS3s in stock. And they probably had as many as 20 consoles, and they even called up the CEO to tell him the situation. And he kind of... you know, stuck to his guns by saying, you know, you say that half of the stores that you phone had them in stock. That means the other half sold their supplies, didn't it? That's, you know, that's like looking at their glasses. What do you want to say?
It doesn't really matter as such. I mean, his competition is 5 minutes, $1,200.
True. You know, it's like free money. But as I was, you know, pointing earlier, is that, you know, looking at the glass either half empty or half full, it doesn't matter. You know, you pointed out that and you said, you know, if anybody can find a PS3 console that's been on a retail shelf for more than $5, I'll give you $1,200. And, you know, don't forget, including the exchange rate, that's probably, you know, worth more in Australian money, I guess.
So, Jack, you're an idiot.
And if you go to the website, you can see a pretty good mugshot of the CEO, so you can see, you know,
what he's thinking about. Idiot face.
You know, on that note, I think we move to the next article before we get any phone calls from the lawyers that represents Sony. Okay, next article. I'll be taking the reins over here. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's basically titled, Study Shows a Link Between Improved Eyesight and Action Games. This is about the University of Rochester, wherever that is. They had a study that shows that playing first-person shooters can be good exercise for your eyes. Well, I think I've known that for a number of years. What about you, Lee?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I knew that when I was born.
Oh, damn. He's pro when he was born. Great, man. Oh. But, you know, of course it improves your eyesight. We can all tell you that because you're using your eyes and you got to keep your eyes on everything that's on the screen. But, you know, just to get further down into this article, some points it says that they gave people either playing Unreal Tournament or Tetris for several hours a day over a course of a month. And they found that the Unreal Tournament players fared much better than the Tetris players in the post-test, which even showed an improvement in their peripheral vision. So I guess, you know, they're looking at the screen, but they're also making sure that no one is going to sneak up behind them or something like that.
I'll tell you why. It is impossible to play Tetris for a couple hours a day for a month.
I guess that could be true.
That if you got the option, I'll admit, if you're stuck in an office and all you got is Tetris, then Tetris you play. Mm-hmm. But if you have the option between UT and Tetris, you're a moron if you pick Tetris.
Yeah, I understand that, Lee. You know, back in my high school, like we used to do, what I used to do was technical drawing. And, you know, when the teacher wasn't looking, everybody would be playing Tetris because that was the only game on the PC down there. But, you know, back to the article, it says some were giving Unreal Tournament, some were giving Tetris. If I was giving Tetris, I would have said, get the hell out of here and jump with the guys who are playing Unreal Tournament. You know, I'd set up a LAN session every day, you know, for a couple of hours. We'd be fragging all night. Yay.
Unleash the ammo bot.
Oh, yes, back to the ammo bot. Thank you very much. You know, ammo bot doesn't exist. Well, technically it does, but no. Anyway, back to the article once again. I guess I find this article, extremely delightful to read that gaming has once again been proven to increase the body functions in some certain way. In this particular instance, is the eye skills in some way. I could
sum it up in two words.
Go for it.
Totally awesome.
Totally awesome, or ludicrous, I guess you want to say that. And if you want to say the ultimate celebration word, without getting too rude, it's holy shit. But yeah, it's a great article. Well, nothing too big about it. But if you want to prove that next time your parents come into your room and say, you know, get off the computer, stop playing those games, don't do nothing, go outside and, you know, get some fresh air, where you can say, hang on a second, I'm not playing games just for the hell of it or to lay some smackdown on people. I'm actually improving my eyesight. So, sure, you know, go outside, parents. You can go back to watching sports or whatever you do, but I'm sitting in here improving my eyesight. It could save my life in the future. You never know. I might not have seen that bus coming around the corner if I've been playing Tetris all day, but if I was playing Unreal Tournament, oh yeah, I could have done a dodge jump out of it. You never know.
And if that situation arises, which is well and truly possible, what you do is you keep playing those video games and then you develop your eyesight and then you'll have X-ray vision and then you'll be able to see your parents sneak it up on your door. You can just shut the TV off, crack open the book and go, yeah, what's up, man? Yeah, I'm doing my study. Yeah, yeah, back up. Yeah, 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 go away and shut your door and get back to the Unreal Tournament. There you go.
Well, you know, never know. It might just come true. X-ray vision, good for, you know, making sure the parents don't sneak up on you, and probably good for those, you know, kick-ass parties in the clubs with all those nice-looking people. Anyway, we'll move on to the next part of the episode here, if I just know what it is. Well, we'll leave it for the articles right now, since we couldn't bother thinking about anything else. We want to keep it short, and we move on to personal news. Well, not too personal, in effect, just gaming news about us.
And, how about you?
Me? Well, yeah, I'll start it off once again. I mean, gaming, let's just say I've been playing some games, but the main game I've been playing at the moment is Supreme Commander. But not the retail version, because it's not out in the stores just yet. The demo came out, I think, a couple of days ago, probably, but maybe 2 or 3 or 5. But the demo came in at a huge, whopping 1.6 gigabytes, which, to you people in America or wherever you got good-ass broadband, it's not, you know, not such a big deal. You got 1.6 gigabytes, and I download that in an hour. Well, let me just say, come to Australia on the standard ADSL speed, where we get 512 kbps. 1.6 gigabytes is a big deal, and that could take, you know, let's see, about 10 hours. I'm not sure how many exactly, but 10 hours, I think, might have took me overnight. I don't, you know, mind if the demos are huge, just as long as I can get them, you know, without interrupting my bandwidth quota for the month. But yeah, let me just say the demo was kind of worth it. Supreme Commander is an RTS game made by... what was his name? I think his name is Chris Taylor from Gas Powered Games, and he's most well known for creating Total Annihilation, some old RTS game which I never got around to playing. And basically, people were saying if he made Total Annihilation, which they say was probably a game sort of on the same standard as StarCraft, then this new RTS that he's releasing called Supreme Commander should be just as good. And let me tell you, it kind of is, because, you know, for starters, the big things they want to point out this RTS is that, like standard RTS games, you're looking over a map, but you're like zoomed in real close, so you can only see parts of the map, and you got to scroll around. But in Supreme Commander, you can zoom all the way up and see the full theater of war. So you basically zoom out and see every single part of the map. Now, that's not going to help, you know, help you with giving orders, but you can see what's going on. And you can also zoom all the way straight in to, you know, get a close-up view. But
you know, so have you got micro?
I never had really, really good micro with RTS games. You know, my skills is FPS games, but I'm slowly getting there. I guess, you know, it takes a couple of while for Emma Bot to kick in. Yep. But what else I want to talk about this game? They say it's the first RTS game to support dual monitors. So basically, you can have one monitor with the normal map, we can zoom in and everything and do your orders, and the other monitor can be your mini map, so you can, you know, take a quick look at what's going on around the map. So, you know, I guess in a way, if you've got a powerful system with dual monitors and you like RTS games, you can probably give this demo a shot, see if it works out for you. You can also try this dual monitor setup on a single monitor. You press the home key or something like that to split the screen in half, or not the screen actually, but, you know, whatever you view in half. Not that suitable, I guess, for us with the good old 17-inch CRTs, because it's kind of, you know, too small. But if you've got maybe a big widescreen monitor, like a 30-inch widescreen, you know, maybe that would help you out.
Yeah.
But what else do you want to talk about this demo? You know, not too much in the demo. Like, there's one campaign mission, which is okay, I guess, in a way. But there's also a skirmish mode where it's you versus the computer AI. And you get heaps of units, you know, you can upgrade different, your commander, basically, over time. And you can have sea battles, because you've got, like, submarines and big ships, air battles with interceptors, bombers, gunships, and you got ground troops, you know, tanks and, you know, whatever you want to call about it. And it has a nice futuristic setting, so for those that like futuristic games, I'd say give it a shot. Check out the demo, I don't think you'll be too disappointed. What else want to say? Oh yes, I'm still on my LCD hunt. I probably got an LCD in mind, but it costs too much for the moment. And on my room rearrangement, I haven't done much to it since the last time I talked about it, because I'm just too lazy at the moment. But hopefully, you know, before the end of the year, I can have something done.
Cool.
Okay, what's with you this time, Lee?
All right, well, my parents are away, so I'm home alone right now, which is awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. And I rented the movie Home Alone, and obviously I watched it. And every year, you know, I rent it and I watch it. And I sort of wish that there'd be some burglars coming along, and, you know, so I could be like that little brat and have all that cool stuff, but I don't have a house with four stories, so, you know, it kind of sucks. But in the gaming world, not much has been happening because, you know, the Home Alone thing, I've got to run my parents' affairs while they're away and everything. But yeah, no, I'm still going. I'm still playing games, trying to get as much gaming in before the hell of uni begins on the 19th. So,
1 week to go.
Yeah, 1 week. Yeah, so that's it. No real new games or anything here. Hardware's all good at the moment. Oh, I got a new ergonomic keyboard last night, and it sucks. I can't type on it. yeah, no, we're all good. I'm thinking of getting another DS game and...
Anyone in particular?
Oh, yeah, but I forgot the name of it. It's like Hotel 215 or something. I don't know.
What is it, like some kind of adventure game?
Yeah, you hold the thing, the DS, like you do in that brain training, and you do stuff on it. I don't know. It's not even released here until the 22nd, so, I mean, that's how cutting edge I'm going to be.
Oh, snap. What, you going to import it or something?
Well, no, if it's released here on the 22nd, I'll buy it here.
No, I thought you were going to get it quickly, you know. You might get it a day sooner, and then goes, oh, yeah, take that, man. I got it before you. Oh,
yeah. No, I won't do that.
Oh, okay, then. But, you know, get a new game. I'm thinking of getting a new game myself, but at the moment, I don't know which one. And, you know, truth be told, you know, 50 or so bucks for a new DS game, unless it, you know, holds me for a long time, I don't think there's much point in getting one at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough news about us at the moment. I don't think anybody was interested, but we just decided to talk to you to waste time. We'll go on to episode topic now, which we came up with a new interesting title. Well, not actually interesting, because I just thought it up last night, thanks to Lee's input, and I couldn't be bothered making up some fancy name, but we're just going to call it Games We Think That Are Unique. I was thinking of maybe we thought games that brought a unique perspective into the gaming arena in certain ways, but I think Lee might have a different perspective altogether, and I'll let him take the ball.
Yeah, well, I got a number of categories of uniqueness, and the first one is games that are unique and how much they suck. And we'll kick this off with a game which I bought for $10 from the bargain bin at EB called City Crisis. This game sucks so much, it is not funny. Now, you know in a standard game how the difficulty level progresses as you go through the game, right? Uh-huh. Well, this game, it's like they were driving outside the nut house one day. They saw some guy come running out in a straitjacket and said, hey, you, would you like to build a video game? He's like, yeah. And they put him in front of a computer and he made this video game. You'll have, the first mission is like impossibly hard. The second mission is like, you're jumping helicopter, fly over here. That's it, mission done. Next one's like, you rescue all these people and you can't do it. And then you just, I hate that game so much, and I don't think I can give it away because people are going to look at it and they're going to go, oh, City Crisis, yeah, that really is suck. So, yeah, that game is unique in how bad it is. Okay, games that could have been Ownage. Now, everyone knows I love Grand Theft Auto, but Grand Theft Auto is in this list.
Ooh.
And I have a fairly, I think, decent critique of this. Now, it's a great game, don't get me wrong. Graphics are, you know, reasonable. The, you know, in fact, you can go and beat people up. That's pretty fun, too. But it's still quite a linear game, you know? You can't really do much without basically following the storyline as they want you to follow it. There isn't really too much you can do to deviate and take your own path through the game. It's still quite linear, which I think if they had made it a lot more free-roaming, not just free-roaming in movement, but free-roaming in plot, it would have been awesome. Another one is Black and White. You remember that game?
Oh, the one where you got it. You got to smack the animals around, basically.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
See, now that game, I thought this game was going to be awesome because I could release my inner jerk. But I couldn't. The game was biased towards being a good, nice, kind god, and I didn't really want to be that. You know, I wanted people to like pray for rain and then I'd give them a flood. You know, I wanted to do that, but I couldn't do stuff like that. I was limited in how evil I could be, and you know there was much more options in how good I could be, and I didn't want that. I'd want them to, you know, pray for a good crop and have lots of kids, and then I want to send a flood in to drown everybody, and that's what I wanted to do. But no, you can't do that. No, that's way too, you know, evil for us. So could have been awesome, but isn't. Okay, that are unique in how awesome their physics are. Now you have to admit it's Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Sorry about that, but I had a laugh.
That game is so unique in its physics, I think that we should rewrite all the physics textbooks to include this game as a demonstration of how physics should be. Not how we've got it, how it works today. I think that is the benchmark from now on. That game is so awesome for that one particular reason. The game actually sucks. You know, it's hard to control. It doesn't really have this guy called Zach has an island, and then he gets all these girls to come to his island and play volleyball in no clothes. Yeah, dream on, mate. But the physics rocks. Okay, now actually getting, you know, past all that rubbish to the actual, a game which I think is truly unique, a game which I have never come across, and I'm playing it right now, is the sort of Katamari Damacy series. The principle of this game is to roll things up. That's it. That's all you got to do. There's no plot. There's like, you walk into some guy and he's like, oh yeah, well I'm trying to study, so can you please roll up all this junk in my room? And you roll it up and that's it. That's all you got to do. Yesterday I was playing it and I had to roll up something that was 500 meters big. That's half a kilometer, right? I was picking up buildings and rolling them along with it. Now that I've never played a game. Now there might be some guy going, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, you suck, mate. Jeez, I was playing that way back when you were a little kid." Well, that's great. That game is unique, and that's what I got to say on it.
Thank you very much, Lee, for that exhilarating outtake on I guess the episode topic for this show. Especially when you edit in Extreme Beach Volleyball, the Dead or Alive series, I had to laugh because we know that the physics in that kind of pushed the bounce factor too high, I guess, in a way. So high, in fact, that you could probably poke your eyes out if you know what I'm talking about. I didn't know you were going to go along that path for uniqueness. I was going to talk about more like new innovative gameplays for unique, which I'll probably trying to mention now. Some games I think are unique. First one that came to come to mind at the moment is Savage, and also the sequel for it, Savage 2. Savage, if you haven't played it, because it's a free game at the moment, so you can probably check it out. We had it listed in a couple of episodes back, and we talked about it. Savage is a game where you got like a standard, RTS, but also an action game. You know, if you're one of the normal players on the map, you control, say, like, I guess you could say, like, a peasant or whatever normal peon you get at the beginning. And there's one guy who plays, like, I say, the commander, who gets an overhead view. So he plays, like, that traditional RTS view of everything. And he can place down buildings and whatnot, whatever. And the guys who are on the ground, who gets the proper, you know, first-person, third-person view, they got to go around and they got to, you know, help build up these buildings and go around and kill the other enemies. So, you know, as I briefly just mentioned there, you got RTS view, the commander who controls everything and tells people where to go, and they got a traditional action point view, first person, third person, where the players can go around, you know, try to attack the other people's base, try to destroy it, and then, you know, whoever wins out of that comes out as the champion. Other games I think that are unique, thinking back to the old times now, where games, when they first came out, kind of brought a certain, you know, something you've never seen before, I guess, in a way. I'll probably have to say maybe the first Quake game that they brought out. Because back then I used to play, it was Doom 2. So, you know, it was the first person shooter, but everything you saw in there was in two dimensions. So if you killed an enemy on the ground, or you were trying to strafe, circle around an enemy, you'd see just that one same pixel over and over again because it's two dimensions. And then, you know, it kind of got... You understood for that time, that's the way it is, but then when Quake came out, all the enemies and whatever, whatnot, were three-dimensionally rendered. So if you killed an enemy and then you see his body on the floor and you walked around it, it wouldn't, you know, turn around constantly to face you. It'd be in a particularly three dimensions, so, you know, you got a head at one end and a feet at the other. And I thought back then, you know, this is probably a big step in a certain way for the gaming, how, you know, you sort of jump from the 2D to 3D. And as we all know, the Quake 1 engine, I guess, was used for some other games. And, you know, it's gone all the way up now to the Quake 4 engine. And they're also going to release out the new, Quake Wars Enemy Territory, which people are looking forward to. And I'm also looking forward to that. Other games in uniqueness, well, I have to say probably one of Lee's favorite games is The Sims.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not a big fan of The Sims myself, but as you all probably know, it's a big falling around the world. You try to live out a different lifestyle with your virtual character. You know, I guess there's some moral expectations about that, but, you know, it's just a game. Control your avatar basically, or they go to work, they stay at home, they do whatnot. You know, to me, I guess, you know, I'm more of a person running gun shooter, not this puzzle player, really, or whatever it is. But, you know, for it to be really popular and all that, you know, congratulations to Will Wright, the creator of The Sims. And that's probably a unique game. How I would have to say, unique how it's, what is going to make it? It didn't matter exactly what you were into, I wouldn't say that, but it basically brought a lot of female gamers into gaming, I guess, in a way. You know, there was always stereotype back then, there's not many female gamers, and you know, it was true, they didn't play many games at the time, they were more like first-person shooters or sport games, but when Sims came along, female gamers, you know, took a look and said, oh no, I like controlling this, you know, alternate person, if it's myself or whatever person I want to make, you know, you got a house, you know, got a job, go around the city. And as you've known, Sims is, you know, heaps of expansions. They have Sims 2. They got on the wireless games and all that. It just goes on and on. I'm trying to think of another unique game, which I just can't think at the moment. You know, not many I could think at the moment of being, you know, something that brought something big or something new into the gaming world, but there are a few out there, so if you've got any on your mind you can think of, please leave a comment on our website and we'll talk about those in the later episode, and we'd like to see what your thoughts are. You got any unique games? I'm sure we'll be hearing from Excalibur later on. Don't you think about that, Lee?
Yeah, I think you better. Yep.
Yeah, I think he would. I think he, you know, stays on our website and presses the refresh key, you know, every 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's a bit funny.
No, I don't know. Maybe he's got a bit of a stalker syndrome, but hey, you know, nothing wrong with that. If he wants to, you know, hang out for our episodes every fourth week,
yeah.
So you know, so there's more power to him. But
well, Wednesday is the day for stalking, so here we go.
Well, you never know. And I'm thinking that's about it on the episode topic of what games we think are unique. Lee brought in a really funny and different way of thinking of uniqueness, and I'm glad he did. He livened the show with that part. And I just talked the traditional boring uniqueness in a way. So that's it for the episode topic. And we move on to one of your favorite parts of the episode. I know you're all hanging out for it. You know, every single episode is what games we are playing. I'll let Lee take the reins on this one to start off with. So, Lee, what games are you playing?
Right. I've been playing Inselkampf again, whatever. And I'm going pretty well. Finally got my shipment of 30,000 stone. And then the seller had the gall to go, hey, we are sending you this 30,000 stone. Where's my 1,000 gold? So I had to tell him, well, moron, I already gave it to you. And he was like, oh, okay. So that was good. Mm-hmm. That was all cleared up. Building away. Got a few catapults. Got 8 catapults now, which is, that's pretty awesome. They're good for offense and defense, but they take ages to build and, you know, they're just expensive. So, yeah, still plugging away at that. Played some Katamari, of course. You know, rolling things. SimCity 4, destroying things. And I played a new game.
Ooh, a new game?
Well, it's old game, and I've had it for a while, but I finally said, right, that's it, I'm playing something new. And okay. So I threw it in, one CD after excruciating CD.
Of how many CDs?
4.
Oh!
Yeah, it took ages to install. But, now, I got to give it to the company that made this thing. This game was released in, I think, either 99 or 2000. They've just released a patch that will allow you to play it on Vista.
Oh, that's you following it up.
That's some pretty decent support, I gotta say.
That's great.
Anyway, the longest journey, I don't even know what it's about. It's about some stupid dream world or something, and I'm this woman called April, and I don't know, she walks around and she's an art student. She whinges about dreams and stuff. I don't really know what's going on. But you know those adventure games where you wear your mouse out and then you get to the, you know, to some screen and you find out you haven't got the enchanted mousetrap or something and you got to go back to where you started and pick it up and then go back there?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those adventure games.
Oh, cool.
And so far, it's been pretty good. It hasn't been too irritating that way. So, yeah, it's a pretty good game. And, yeah, because it's so old, it, you know, runs great. And,
awesome.
Yeah, no, it's a good game.
You know, I was going to say, you know, good old games are good games because no matter what computer you got, just recently, it should be able to run it fine on maximum detail.
Damn tootin'. How about yourself this week?
Myself, well, I've been playing Nine Dragons once again, you know, not so much as before, because when you get to the higher levels, it takes a bit longer to level up, and since the game is still in open beta, there's not many quests at the moment. Still got some bugs that they have been ironing out. They do release patches very often to fix it up, so that's interesting. I think one of the patches they released recently was to fix up this random crash you'd get for some reason, unknown to whatever you're doing, is that you get a random message on the screen that basically said the server is shutting down for maintenance, which wasn't true. You know, it wasn't shutting down for maintenance. You know, but the thing is that you couldn't stop the game from closing itself. So, you know, once the game closed, you had to load back in and everything be, you know, hunky-dory. But, you know, Nine Dragons is still an interesting game for open beta, free game if you're interested in online RPGs, such, you know, World of Warcraft being the most famous one out there at the moment. This one is free, and it follows like the martial arts of the Chinese culture. So, you know, it looks nice, it's free, and you know, I'd say take a look at it, and you can refer back to our previous episode. I think we covered it as the website of the show in that one.
Awesome.
Other games I've been playing, well, I don't want to, you know, sound too ungrateful or whatever, but or too weird in a certain way, but I have been playing Halo. Yes, Excalibur, I have been playing Halo. As you all know, people, Excalibur is a big fan of the Halo series, so, you know, he loves it to death. And basically, he loves it on the console, so I never really got up playing first-person shooters on the console because I can't aim for crap. But on PC, aiming's much easier. But, you know, as Lee was saying before, old games on your systems run fine. Well, Halo's an old game. Don't know when it came out. I think it was before the turn of the century. Or maybe not. I'm not sure exactly. But, you know, it runs fine. I guess, you know, maximum detail. There's not too many maximum details for an old game like that. But, you know, Halo, interesting game. I decided to play it because I thought, no, not many new games at the moment, and I wanted something where I could just basically go around and shoot the hell out of anything that comes along my path. And Halo does that. Go around, shoot, you know, shoot whatever, you know, aliens there, aliens here, some weird stuff, I'll shoot them, and it's all fine.
Shooting's fun.
You know, I have to say, the storyline is kind of interesting. I won't ruin for people who haven't played it. Well, for me, I hadn't played it before, but now I've played it, so I sort of get the storyline now. You know, it leads up to Halo 2 and then also finally Halo 3, which gets released later on this year. But, you know, Halo's an interesting game, and I'll leave it like that. What else have I been playing? Ultimate Spider-Man, you know, the game based on the comic of the same name. And I had to say, I just finished it, which I guess was, you know, pretty good in a way. It's a bit short, I guess, but, you know, they couldn't do too much about it. There's heaps of side quests where, you know, you go to certain points and they tell you, you know, defeat these gangs without dying, and you move on to the next gang without dying, blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, open unlocks for you as well. You know, the more side missions you do, the more unlocks you get, such as new costumes, comic cover books. You can see some artwork that they did, some concept art as well. And some other side quests you can do is, what was it? Racing against the clock to, you know, get into certain flags, and also having a race against Johnny Flame from the Fantastic Four. Ultimate Spider-Man is a good game for those who like, I guess, the being a superhero. I guess give this game a shot. It's an old game, so it should run fine on whatever system you got. And I think it is better than any of the other Spider-Man games I've played. I think that was Spider-Man 1, then I had Spider-Man 2, then Spider-Man the movie. Those games are okay, but none of them really immersed me as much as Ultimate Spider-Man. So, you know, interesting. And, of course, I've been playing the Supreme Commander demo. For those who like RTS, and I'm sure there's a lot of you out there, everybody's been waiting for Chris Taylor to bring out a new RTS game, and he finally has. It's gone gold. It's coming out on the shelf in 1 week's time, I think. So, you know, it'll be out soon. Get this demo a go just to make sure it runs fine on your PC before you do. It does, you know, it is a bit of a system hog, being a new gamer now. But even if you've got an old machine, for example, me, I've got a Pentium 3, I think, or whatever it is, can't remember. P4, I think. I don't know, I can't remember. It's basically a 2.8 gigahertz. I got an old, 6600 GT video card, if I can get the name out right. It runs kind of smoothly with everything on low. So, you know, even if you've got an old machine, it can run pretty fine. And there you have it. Those are kind of the games we've been playing. I kind of took us a long time talking about those.
Right.
All right. Well, we move on to the next part of the show, and this is the website of the show. Now, this is a pretty good website. First off, I stated it's called Gamerzines, and it's basically the gamer with magazines at the end. Now, basically, what this is a free electronic magazine that this company is releasing every month, and they do it for PC and console games, and I think they also got, you know, the old handheld ones. Not old, sorry, I mean like the new handheld ones. But the thing that I love about these magazines, they are in PDF format, so all you basically need is a machine that can run PDF files. They're easy to use, they got, you know, simple navigation through the magazine, you can run in full screen. But the good thing I love about it, it's not in, you know, you think it's a rip of a printed magazine version. Well, no, it's not. It's all electronic, so, you know, it looks nice, full screen and everything. But it also has embedded multimedia. Now, what I mean by embedded is that if you come along to, you know, look at an advertisement for a game on the page, they'll have a little in-game movie trailer running at the same time when you're looking at the ad. So I'm thinking that, you know, that's pretty impressive for a PDF file.
That is.
I know. You did you take a look at this before, Lee?
I did. And I have to say, up until this point, I couldn't stand PDFs.
Ooh.
And there is a very good reason for this. The university I attend and the university you went to, Ammo, remember, uh-huh. remember the past exam papers and how we got them from the library's website?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how those geniuses over there at that higher learning educational facility
mm-hmm.
would basically construct a 25-page PDF by scanning in each single page?
Yes, of past exam papers, yep.
So you couldn't search for individual terms using text. You just mm-hmm. had to scroll through, and the thing ran horrible because it was basically 25 images.
True.
I hated PDFs. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't hate them as much. So, that's got to be something. That's a plus for Adobe right there. That's indirect thanking there. That's got to be something. That's got to be worth...
That's leanness.
That's got to be worth a widescreen LCD.
Yeah, exactly. You know, give a shout-out to anybody else, and I'm sure you can probably get one later on in the future. But, you know, back to this magazine. It's in PDF format, and as Lee was pointing out, old PDF magazines, they were a standard of the, you know, print version. You couldn't really search through them. You know, some of them did have linkages from the contents page to whatever they had, but, you know, this new PDF format by gamerzines.com, you do have linkage to different pages, but it's got embedded multimedia, so you got animations of screenshots while you're reading a review. You know, for example, I was reading a preview on Supreme Commander. Yes, once again, I'm talking about Supreme Commander. And they had animated GIF file showing different screenshots. So, you know, while you're reading it, it's, oh, look, that looks pretty. Oh, look again, that looks pretty again. You know, and all on the same page, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
You know, and you got video, you got, you know, heaps of interactivity, but not too much because you're just going back and forth through the pages. But, you know, you're reading a magazine, basically, so you can't expect too much. But the best thing of all, this whole thing is free. So, you know, all gamers out there, you know, we all love things that are free. You know, demos are free, you know, beta games are free. So even this magazine, where you can find out your information about gaming, is free.
Free is good.
Free is good. Oh, that's an interesting tagline. Excellent. But, you know, anything is free is really good. So big shout out to this website. It's gamerzines.com. We'll put a link to it on our own website after the show. And, you know, take a look at it. I'm sure if you do, you'll all be, as I was, blown away when I was turning the page and said, wait a minute, it's loading or something. It's an ad for World of Warcraft. Of course, you know, World of Warcraft is a good game as well. Thank you, Blizzard. You can send a couple of copies of the game towards me. But but back to this is that, you know, embedded video inside a PDF, I've never seen it before. So, you know, if you want to see some awesomeness in a PDF file, go to this website, grab a copy of whatever magazine. They got PC, they got consoles, as I mentioned before, and you can have a blast at it.
And because we gave them a plug, they can give us some widescreen LCDs.
Oh, awesomeness. You know, I'm sure they can pull the strings, you know, some professional magazines. I'm sure they get games from companies. And they also link maybe this. We got to review games for you, so we need the, you know, good machines.
So I think
you know, so Samsung, ViewSonic, Philips, whatever, if you're listening, yes, you can send some free LCDs towards us. You won't miss them, will you?
No. PO Box 4145, Myrie, BC. Just, there you go. That's where you send them to me.
Yes, and or just contact us on the website somehow. Well, speaking of the website, what's our website address, Natalie?
You go to Google, and then you just hit search, and then you're there. But if you can't do that, and you want to type it in, it's videogamingisgood.podomatic.com. It stands for commerce. Did you know that?
For commerce?
There you go.
I thought it was commercial.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I'm not sure, but that doesn't matter. We're not too technical in this podcast. But, you know, on that note, I guess we'll kind of try to end the show here. If you got any comments you want to leave us, please do so. I'm sure Excalibur will be, you know, sending us some straight after the show, as usual.
And if you don't have any comments you want to make, just leave them anyway. Just do it.
Just say, you know, no comment. We wouldn't read about that in the next episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, once again, we'd like to thank you all for joining us. The two ugliest guys on the internet talking about a podcast which no one absolutely listens to except maybe one person. Thank you very much, Excalibur, for listening to us. We sure you'll enjoy the show. This is Darren, a.k.a. Emo, and
Lee, a.k.a. Sklozza.
Yep, and we're signing off now, so thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
All right, bye. Okay, bye. See you, bye.